All right, so I'm going to just take a few minutes to read you all some summary from what we did this morning. And we started out asking folks what the purpose and intended outcomes were for our time together, in particular this morning with you all on this call and if there's more. And the answers to the purpose were to open the door to possibilities, to learn from others regarding what the possibilities are, maybe things have been discussed but not the whole group doesn't know about yet. Another purpose is just the process of what we're doing with practice and the facilitation program, transitioning, having the kind of energy of initiating support and practice going both ways from Sangha to the monastery and monastery to Sangha. And then the intended outcomes. At one point we talked about having a first draft of maybe the structure and process of how the facilitation program will go forward. Since then, you know, we're loosening that. If we don't have something specific and we do a lot of processing about it, so be it. Some idea of where we're going. We talked about that our conversation in terms of outcomes may become broader than the facilitation program, looking at more where is practice headed, and that might inform the facilitation program conversation. And I think those were the highlights of the intended outcomes. And then we did a process where we asked folks the question, given where we are now with the facilitation program, what might you see as the purpose and intended results of that program? And we boiled that down to these statements. Deepening practice, showing up present and centered and communicating from that place, offering to others what we've been given, supporting practice, and stepping up and representing practice. So that summarizes most of our conversation this morning. Toward the end of it, when we were looking at this call with you all, Sherry posed some questions that we were thinking we would open with here. And number one, what do we want for practice? Number two, what do we need to stay focused on to make that happen? And then I think Dave offered what communication and other structures might we need to keep integrity with the answers to the first two. So, I wonder if you all have additions or comments, things you would like to make sure we address as we're all here together.
I feel like everything that I had seen happening in this process has been said. Same for me. We're hearing silence on this end. I think I can faintly hear that in the background you're talking.
Jen?
Yeah, that's that. There you go. Now you're back.
I need to put the phone in my mouth, though, for this to work.
Okay.
We're getting on another call, but can you say back to me what you did hear, if anything, or just maybe, no, I didn't hear any of that last part?
We heard the summary, and then Melinda and I both said that we thought everything was touched on, and that's the last we heard.
Okay. All right. So the only here were these next questions. Okay, now Alex, I think, is on with his other phone.
No?
And Phil's finally on.
Oh, yay.
Phil, welcome. Yay.
Did Ann get on, Ann Danley?
Nope, not yet.
She and I were all the only ones on, you know, with the other pin.
Yep, and we went to try to find you there, but we didn't find you there.
Oh, well, I was the whole time. I'd never hung up till now.
Huh.
Plus, I was trying, between phone calls, trying to call everybody.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're maybe all here now.
So, Jen, that ding was us getting off and on with Alex's phone. Can you hear me clearly now?
I can hear you very clearly.
Oh, good. All right, so the last thing, well, should we get Phil up to speed a little bit, or what? How do you want to do that?
Seems like we were about to be at a good starting point.
All right. So we're starting with some questions, Phil. Those questions, and Sherry posed these at the end of our conversation this morning, the first two and then the third. The first, what do we want for practice? Number two, what do we need to stay focused on to make that happen? Number three, and I can say these again. Number three, what communication and structures do we need to keep integrity, that could be, you know, the end of it, also to keep integrity with what we come up with for the first two, but mainly to keep integrity. So we were going to ask the questions one at a time, have folks come up with their answer on their own, and then hear from everyone, kind of like we do on the Best Three Up follow-up calls. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right, so if everyone will take a few minutes on their own to answer this question, what do we want for practice? Now, I'm just going to be silent here for a few minutes while you do that.
Jen, could you just repeat that? It keeps breaking up.
The first question, Phil, what do we want for practice? Did you hear that?
Okay, I did this time. Thanks.
Okay. Take one more minute. Okay, so the way we're going to hear from folks is we'll be passing the phone around in each place and fill to, and we're asking folks to speak to one item from their list. What we're trying to do is balance hearing from everyone with the time that we have. So please don't read off your whole list, and please don't tell a story about what you've written or process about what you've written, but say one of your things. And we'll go around once, and then we may go around again. So how about, Phil, since you're on the phone there by yourself, would you start with your one? Hello?
Sorry, I was muted. I had put to live in the present moment with conscious, compassionate awareness.
All right. Jen, will you all pass the phone around and let's hear from each of you before we start around our circle?
Okay. Let's see. To be a solid, grounded place, people can come to have their authenticity mirrored and learn the tools to strip away what is covering that over.
To make practice available to as many as possible worldwide who are interested in ending suffering while remaining connected with integrity with the monastery.
For the integrity of practice to be modeled and represented.
To continue with the extraordinary expansion momentum we have and simultaneously, as we have been doing, attract, support, train the people who make it all happen.
All right, here goes the phone around our circle.
One thing I wrote was for it never to lose its integrity.
Provide as many opportunities to others that are the opportunities that I would just be given.
To maintain and increase the variety of local and monastery-based options for practicing mindfulness.
To be cared for so ending suffering can be available to all.
Practice everywhere and forever.
To expand and continue.
To practice and maintain the integrity of practice as much as possible, making that available in the world without losing sight of the purity of practice.
Deepen our practice and offer it to anyone interested in a way that is sustainable.
I would like for our practice to be vibrant, alive, and fresh.
I would like for practice to deepen in its individual members.
Processes and tools of practice to deepen and broaden.
That practice is an opportunity to serve and to be supported.
Okay, so that's a go around one time. So we're going to go around one more time. Consider what you've heard and whether there's something else on your list you'd like to add, or if something you've just been inspired with something else from listening to what's been said so far. And if you want to just say pass, you can say pass. All right, so I'll just give half a minute for folks to consider their next contribution. Okay, Phil, how about you?
For practice to grow and expand and infuse the the entire universe with love and compassion.
Monastery group.
Pass.
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 That we all be stewards of practice.
All right, here it goes for our group. To be aware and alive in the present moment with compassion.
Pass.
Pass. To have practice be something that will extend to the future.
Pass.
To deepen practice through increasing levels of responsibility for and presentation of the practice.
To widen accessibility to different populations. Okay, so a question I would have for the group at this point, one of the things we did earlier this morning is we, after hearing from folks, we sought to summarize that in, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 statements, not to limit what we had heard, but just to be able to bring forth, you know, in writing, to be able to communicate kind of what had been said. So I wonder if to do that with this, or do we just want to, you know, hear what we heard? Question.
Very.
Okay. All right, so we have Sherry has said, let's give it a shot with maybe coming up with some summaries. Are you all good with that?
Sure.
Okay. All right, so then looking for is folks to call out, as you heard what everyone said, there were themes or words you heard repeatedly that would represent, you know, if we got to 4 or 5 statements of what did this group say about this, what would those be? So just so folks aren't talking over one another, Phil, does anything occur to you if you were going to offer one that was a summary of things you heard?
Yeah, it wasn't a tire summary, but there was a lot of force around making the practice available for others in some way or other.
Yep. Okay, how about group at the monastery? What were a couple, 3 or summary statements that you would offer for what you've heard?
Seems like maintaining the integrity of practice came up a lot. Yeah, that's for me. I just like the word maintaining the purity of the practice while it expands. I also heard several people talk about expanding practice, which sort of goes along with making practice available. I think it's been said.
Okay, so what I've written down from having heard you all so far is making practice available, maintaining the integrity and the purity of practice, and just as other folks said, if I heard right, tied in with those 2. So did I get that right?
We're all nodding our heads here.
Okay, so I'm going to open it up to our group now to add things that they heard, and we'll just pass the phone around in order to do that.
Something about continuation of the practice into the future.
I heard
stewardship of practice, serving, and being supported by practice.
And I like having the word sustainable in there so that whatever we come up with is something that we can sustain over time.
I heard people talk about having practice grow and deepening the individual, and also having practice be vibrant. And there's some other adjectives.
Okay, so here's what I've got so far in answer to our question, what do we want for practice? Making practice available, maintaining the integrity and the purity of practice, and I've been here while it expands. Continuation of practice into the future, stewardship, serving practice, and being supported by practice. Having it be sustainable, whatever we create. And the growth and deepening of practice for individuals and keeping it vibrant, alive, and fresh. Is there anything else that folks feel is important to be in here to represent what we've said that we've not said yet? No reason to be bored. It's going on our list. Compliments of Sherry Huber. Okay, so let me just check in. So we just did a question with this process, trying to make it work with multiple people. Is this working for folks, how we're doing this?
Seems like a great picture. I think it's really working for us here. Everyone's agreeing.
Okay, we're getting nods. Bill, how about for you?
Yeah, it's working.
All right, super. All right, so let's go on to the next question then. What do we need to stay focused on to make that happen? So we just outlined what we want for practice. Now, what do we need to stay focused on to see that through, to see that vision through? Everyone take a couple of minutes to sum up your response to that. Take one more minute answering this. So since everyone has had an experience now of what we're doing with this going around the room, if folks have a, you know, one-liner and you want to say a couple things about that, feel free. We're just trying to find that balance again between giving us one word and giving us 5 minutes. So if folks want to enrich their answer a little bit, feel free. And we'll start going around the circle here in North Carolina.
The first thing I wrote down was personal integrity in practice. And then I realized it's basically personally embodying all of the things that we just talked about. So in my practice, all the things have to be in place in order for it to happen in the organization.
I just wrote down a number of things: communication, integrity, commitment, personal passion.
I wrote down making keeping practice the center of one's life, returning to center for information on how to proceed with each step, and remembering that the wisdom of Sangha is greater than any one person.
I was trying to find the phrase from the E-Myth book, but there was managing, the opposite of managing by abdication, or abdication. There was, I don't know what it was called, but it was an active, it was more active.
Not to make assumptions.
I wrote down deepening my own practice, modeling practice, and participation is huge, and supporting that with support from me.
So we had the P flow earlier. I'm on a C flow. Consciousness, commitment, compassion, clarity, courage, connection, communication.
Mine's already been said a few times.
Mine would be a team. We are all in this together. Focus on no separation.
I have what the Buddha taught, and not before its time.
Some words, but format to share what we are seeing and learn from that and expand and have feedback to stay in integrity.
Receiving feedback and guidance from God and the monks, as well as connecting with the Sangha and committed participation from myself and from others.
All right, so that's around the North Carolina group. Will the monastery group go around now?
Yes. For me, Dave said quite well something that I had written down, and also communication, teamwork, something about it feels like the way things are succeeding now has a lot to do with how teams work when teams are really working. And also that we are all responsible for practice, both our own and practice globally.
I had to focus on practice, that everyone focusing on their individual practice as they contribute to the whole, and focusing attention on what it is you want.
And I had our own practice, bringing it to the team, seeking guidance, and saying yes.
Some strong themes here. I had, it seems like if we're each really doing practice ourselves and communicating, that might, everything else might take care of itself.
And Phil, how about from you?
Yeah, I had living the integrity of practice personally and with Sangha.
All right. So same thing. I just want to give 30 seconds and see if there's something else that occurs to anyone else to say about this, the answer to this, given what you've heard. I'll be quiet for a little bit here while folks consider that. All right, so Phil, is there anything more you want to add that feels different than what's been said?
No, nothing that feels different from what's been said.
All right, how about for the folks at the monastery?
I just was saying one thing, how it's neat. It's like the precepts where everything everyone said is opens the door to the same thing. It's like the portal, all the same thing. Neat.
I pass. I just hope we don't lose all those C's. Otherwise, I pass.
Lose all the what, Melinda?
The C's, the communication, compassion, connection. I think they're about courage. I think they're about six of them at least.
Well, to continue with the C's, the channel for those C's wrote them all down over there, so I think we're in good shape. Any, did you all get around your circle yet?
Yeah, we're complete at the monastery.
Good. Okay, so we're going to pass around here. Let's say if you want to pass, you don't have to say pass, you just pass.
One other thing that occurred to me is kind of on the next level down, practical kinds of things to pay attention to, like when and how decisions get made. Somebody already mentioned not making assumptions, not having better ideas, just kind of the basic aspects of training that we look at all the time.
But I had training and being what we want.
Fundraising. I wrote down helping however I can when I'm asked.
Taking responsibility without taking control.
Okay, so the phone's made its way around our circle. So check in. I mean, it seems like there weren't as many ways to pull that down into half a dozen statements. For Rich, it was a lot. So a couple of ideas. One is we could do the process that we did and try to summarize. Another idea that occurs to me is we could have everyone who's on the call, in some shape or form in writing, give us what they responded, and we could make that list. Either way, what is the process of coming to a summary useful for folks who want to do that? Some head nodding here. How about for you guys?
Looks like people are saying either way would work.
Okay, either way. All right. Well, we'll just go for it and see what we come up with. So we're looking to consolidate so that whether it's four things or 10, but something rather than 30, for instance, we could get to saying this really is the crystallization of how we answered that questions. So who will throw something out for that? I'm going to pass the phone down to Jerry. Okay. Okay, so Sherry just said something she heard often was personal practice as the foundation for, what'd you say, Sherry, at the end? For Sangha practice. Okay, so that was a big one. And let's see, I'm just going to hand the phone around the North Carolina circle, and then we'll go to you guys as well. So here it goes.
I heard stuff about training and not losing sight of training.
Godhood compassion.
I'm reminded of the one rule.
I heard the one about taking responsibility, helping to help, stepping up without taking control.
And I think this was said in many really great ways, I can't remember, but just about seeking guidance.
Communication.
Okay, so Phil and Monastery Group, let me read back to you what we've written down so far. And I just want to say this isn't meant to be kind of a be-all, end-all, well, this is it. It's just an attempt to try to pull together what we've said here. So here's what we have so far. Personal practice is the foundation for Sangha practice. Training, compassion, the one rule, taking responsibility without taking control, seeking guidance, and communication. So when you all reflect on all the responses you heard to the question, is there anything else that for you isn't on this list that seemed pretty critical and not represented by what's been said?
I don't think so, Jan. No one in this room seems to have anything to add.
All right. How about for you, Phil?
It seems to be all said, yes. Nothing
okay.
Else.
Okay, and again, I'm repeating, but I just want to reiterate, there's nothing correct about this list. You know, it could have another half dozen things on it, but this is our best effort to consolidate the conversation about this question. Okay, so we have another question. Before we move on to that, any comments, clarifying questions before we move on?
Not from here.
Okay. All right, so the third question. Yes. Yeah, hold on. I'm going to pass the phone to Sherry.
Thank you.
So the one rule, it seems like if we combine the one rule and we are here to end suffering, we kind of have it.
One rule and what is in the recitation of We Are Here to End Suffering. They fit in there. Yeah. Yeah. Did you all hear that?
No, we didn't.
Sherry was just saying, you know, our foundation pieces in the one rule and the recitation, We're Here to End Suffering, really does serve to, if you want to know where to look, look there. Just like she gave the example, you know, I don't know what to do. Well, look at the schedule. That'll tell you what to do. Same sort of thing.
Really
yeah.
True.
Yeah. She noted that you were speechless with that.
Yeah, I like that. That's perfect.
She said thank you to that, Phil. All right. So, well, let me ask then, the third question was, what communication and structures do we need to keep integrity? Does that seem like the next best question? Does we have anything different showing up? Hold on, Kate's going
to... Yeah. I was wondering, I mean, I suppose we could answer that in a general sort of way, but we don't know, I think, what exactly we're creating So in a practical kind of way, I think that might be a difficult answer.
Did y'all hear that?
Yeah, we did. Same coming up here. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that we could answer that in a general way, and if we're going to continue our conversation into looking at the facilitation program, maybe we wait and answer that question specific to what shows up about the facilitation program.
Yeah, you were breaking up a little bit, Jen, but I think, are you saying potentially to table this question until we're a little bit farther down the road?
Yeah, that was Dave's suggestion, and Sherry has an idea. Okay.
Good.
Yeah, so looking at, we could approach the question from the content angle or the process angle, and why not just go ahead with the question, looking at it kind of from a process place, and we can always come back to it for some content later.
Yeah, great.
And am I not breaking up anymore?
No, we can hear you fine.
All right, super. So let's have folks do the process then with this question. What communication and structures do we need to keep integrity? And as usual, take a few minutes. Write your answers to that. Take one more minute. Okay, so using our same process, how about if the monastery group starts us off?
Okay, I could start. So are we doing the one thing, Jan, just picking one off our list?
Kind of.
Okay, let's see. So many things. So to create the space for communication, so Melinda alluded to it where she said the team thing is really working, so I think creating the space where people who need to seek guidance have places, venues, that's possible.
Creating a set of governing guidelines for expanding practice.
Creating space available to seek guidance and willingness and openness to seek and receive guidance and communicate boldly.
This kind of piggybacks on the guidelines. It feels like when we look at precepts, we live them through the years, and they say something different to us whenever we look at them. And I'm thinking that something in addition to the precepts specific to this process that we could refer back to, and it might come out of this meeting or lots of these meetings, but just something to carry in that way that reminds us and that we're always training with and learning from.
Bill, will you respond now?
Yes. It's like within the Sangha to create paths of communication for giving and receiving guidance, creating and maintaining. I know we have them, but the like clear path of communication for that.
All right. Thank you. Here it goes around our circle. Feedback and ongoing support from the monastery and practice to keep the guidelines.
Just sharing what we're seeing individually as a way to contribute to clear communication.
I put comprehensive as in giving all the information.
Regular communications about communication. Just kidding. So something along those lines, though, that communication would be a topic of discussion regularly.
Accountability.
I get the rest of Marie's time. It's a little long, and I apologize. It always is. The Trappist, I think, was that what Thomas Merton was? Trappist? So they did a process, I think, every Saturday night where they would get together and they would tell on themselves and then they would tell on each other. And it was all done in the spirit of, hey, I'm trying to wake up here. I'm trying to, you know, I need to know what I'm doing. And I know we'll slip into the content part of it, but I'm wondering about a pod where people are able to communicate in a regular, non-personal sort of way about what they see and ask the questions, and to have that as an ongoing conversation.
Wow.
I had, when I get that queasy feeling to stop and not take any action or make any decisions, and to be tied.
I had being ever wary, questioning the authority, how do I know that, and watching the conversation and setting up a support structure for that to be exposed.
There's something similar to that. I just need to say it out loud to myself again, checking the parts of myself on a regular basis.
Yeah, I want to say this also. If it doesn't seem important, it's a good time for me to make sure I ask and to just check in with my heart, also check in with the guidance.
So what I was looking at is real practical on a structural sort of level, like structures for decision making, structures for getting insights and ideas into the group awareness, structures for keeping everyone informed, and structures for training and support for people in their roles.
Okay, so let's do the second go-round, monastery group first. Is there more about this?
I believe we're complete here.
Okay, Bill?
Just a word, accountability.
Accountability.
I said it in different ways. Yeah, accountability.
All right, and we're going to do our second pass around here.
I'll put a vote in for reflective listening, that is as part of the structure for communication.
One thing I put down, I don't know if it fits in here, but acknowledgement and celebration.
All right, so let's do our process here with this third question of summarizing. If the question is, what communication and structures do we need to set up to maintain integrity? we've heard from folks. Let's come together now on what the statements would be that would summarize what we just said. So, Phil, would you start us off if you were going to offer one thing that seems a summary of what you heard?
Well, creating paths of communication for seeking guidance and sharing our own communication and accountability.
Okay, thank you. How about monastery?
So, something seems like creating a set of guidelines. Seems like that came up a lot, that would address successful communication and supporting people and following the structure. It looks like everyone else is, hang on, Melinda might have something.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it's something along the lines of creating channels of communication and training. Both the back and forth of those channels.
Okay, I'm going to read you what you all have said so far, and then we'll pass around this group to see what else. So, creating paths of communication for guidance and accountability. And then Melinda said creating channels of communication and training. So those might be pointing to some of the same. Creating a set of guidelines for successful communication and for following structures. So now we're going to pass the phone around to this group and say what else would contribute to the summary of what we said for this question.
I thought the part that I heard that Dave was talking about the different structures that he outlined.
And it just came up for me that's new would be conversations about how conditioning will attempt to sabotage communication.
One of the things I heard, and I think that fits in a way with this, is the accountability and honest communication. The way I'd look at it is like the thing that happened that I don't want to communicate.
All right, so here's what we've got from this question. Creating paths of communication for guidance and accountability. Creating a set of guidelines for successful communication and for following our structures. Creating channels of communication and training. The structures that Dave pointed to. Conversations about how conditioning will sabotage communication. And then accountability and honest communication. In particular, kind of pointing out those things that I don't think I need to communicate. Or want to, yes. Yes, don't want to. All right. I didn't get all of that. Will you write that? Will you say it again, please? After you say it.
One was structures for decision making. Structures for getting insights and ideas into the group awareness. Structures for keeping everyone informed. Structures for training and support for people in their roles. I put mentoring down there also. I didn't mention it before. That kind of fits in the other category. I know it's something that's been mentioned that people are really before.
Okay, so it's 2:12 here, and Let me throw out a couple of things that have come up to have as part of this conversation and see what else there is and where we want to go. It came up this morning that it'd be useful to hear what ideas there are out there about paths a facilitator program could take, you know, not necessarily substitutes, things to add, like that. It also occurred to me at some point between this morning and now that we could look at a question regarding communication, what's my biggest challenge now, and regarding facilitation, what's my biggest challenge now, or some, you know, configuration of that. So let me just open it up. Where do we want to go next with this?
Jan, this is Jen.
Mm-hmm.
I really like those last two questions you just said, looking at what are our, in communication, what's my biggest challenge now, and in facilitation, what's my biggest challenge now. That seems like there'd be, that almost everything could be looked at in that. And can I say just a brief thing about the summary of that last one? I thought
of course.
It would be fun if we could put that Trappist monk idea, just put it on there so we don't lose it, because that seems like there's a lot of potential in that.
Definitely. I'll write that as its own line. The Trappist monk blog.
We, too, almost all religious orders did that. It's called the Chapter of Faults.
Oh, it's called the Chapter of Faults, Bill?
Yeah, that's what it was called, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was done very prayerfully and respectfully.
Yeah, loving.
Yeah.
This is back on where we want to go. I would really like for us in some way to be able to talk about the program in a real tangible kind of way, which, and, you know, bringing in those ideas, like the ideas, that would start that. And then, this is to the monastery, I know this throws you a really big curve here, guys, but it also occurred to me that, you know, we have a group here at 7:15, and we could potentially continue this process, maybe do all of that, and bring you guys in again on the phone. I don't know if that feels like a possibility to you, but it would be a way where we could perhaps try to include it all.
What could be more important?
Bill, could you make that? If we, it would be 4:15 your time this afternoon. Would you be able to call back in?
I could certainly try. I'm not positive.
Okay. All right.
I
so
would like to, that's for sure.
When we would like you to, being the sole representative of the Bay Area Zen Center.
So what time would that be?
It would be 4:15 your time.
And the same number?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
All right, so it looks like we would have time to do both of these things. Is there anything else, though? Is there more? Dave's talking about having the conversation about the facilitation program ideas segue into some more substantive details about what's next with that. So that's kind of one thing. Another is a process thing about where are our challenges with facilitation communication. Is there a third fourth thing before we go on? Is there any other thing that seems important to give time to today with these calls? Okay. I don't hear anybody. So which will we do first?
I think I would defer to the folks there, you who have kind of been there in the flow and knowing what you're doing. I mean, what occurred to me is it might be that the, seems like those challenge questions are a little bit, well, they're more process, and that they might be a good jumping off place to then lead into the content, but I don't know, really probably could go either way, I think.
Nobody's really staying here.
Yeah, so Sherry's asking the group here and you all too. Jen, you just pointed out a way that A might lead to B, and asking other folks, how do you see the flow going? Renita.
I feel like processing a bit more and getting more juice flowing might help build the back concrete action.
Okay, since those are the two responses we've had, then let's go with that. So we'll do the questions. Actually, let's answer them both. I won't ask you one, and we'll answer, and then I'll ask you the other. So answer the two questions. They are, what is my greatest challenge now regarding communication? And what is my greatest challenge now regarding facilitation? And let's take 3 to 5 minutes to answer that, and then we'll check back in here. Take one more minute to answer these two questions.
Okay, so the clock says 2:23 here. I just want to check in about, do we want to start around hearing from folks and we'll go as long as we can and then we'll stop and pick it back up? How do we want to do this?
Just to reiterate that on our end, time is not a problem. We have still plenty of time in our morning.
I would defer a little bit to the team here who's been kind of organizing all of this, but I think we're probably all right if we go on to like fill three. Does that seem like we still get the work done we need to do and all that to people? Yeah? We're setting up structures for the retreat. We're getting ready all the accommodations. We're cooking for ourselves this evening. If I guess. Sounds like we're good.
All right. So we have 13 folks here plus 5 of you. That's 18 people. And we're talking about a half hour. So, again, just to be realistic, you know, maybe a minute or so from each person about this may be a wonderful thing to hear a lot more. And just so we can hear from everyone, if you'll use that as a guideline in your response. Let's see. Phil, will you start us off?
Let's see. My greatest challenge now regarding communication and facilitation, it may be kind of the same thing, and that is to have this part that really wants to do it well and to do both communicate well, be a good communicator as well as a good facilitator. And that's one side of it. And then I know when I'm in a group with to be facilitated, I have this thing where my mind goes blank, and you know, then that sets up a whole thing. So I think the whole thing, particularly with communications, at this point is a challenge for me. I'm good at being accountable, as far as I think, I certainly do my best to be in communication, but it doesn't always seem to, I don't always seem to pull it off.
All right, thank you. Could we hear from the monastery group?
We're just doing the challenge in communication now, right? Are we doing
both.
Okay, thank you. So the greatest challenge in communication for me seems at the moment to be being complete, and I have a little fear that I will give people too much information, and I think that has me often err on the side of not enough. And I also tend to assume that when I have a picture in my mind and I talk about it, that the other person can see what I'm seeing, and those are both challenges. The challenge in my facilitation is an awareness that it feels as though I may bring in very subtle likes and dislikes when I'm facilitating, and that if somebody really lights me up, I might facilitate them in a slightly different way than somebody who I really don't enjoy. And so I'm really looking at that.
This is Amy, and my greatest challenge with communication is fear and confusion, which is tends to happen when I get stuck in a conversation and end up in a place of not knowing what to do or say. And my greatest challenge with facilitation is discomfort with public speaking can be a distraction. And judgment of my performance.
What came up for me is with communication going to a story that someone believes about that I really have nothing to say, or that if I do have something to say, I can't express it clearly. And there's definitely a big part that feels that she has to monitor what she's saying, that there will be definite repercussions if she says the wrong thing. And, you know, it's kind of always looking for that negative reaction, or, you know, now I blew it. And in facilitation, just being a new facilitator, just really watching it come up that I want to be doing this right and what is right. And, just turning to self-hate at times instead of, you know, remaining at center to get information during the facilitation process.
Okay, this is Jen. As I looked at it, I thought, oh, it's probably the same thing. And sure enough, not even meaning to, it did end up being the same thing in both areas. Something about being challenged to look at the largest perspective. The way that shows up in communication is I see that so often I communicate what's helpful to me and what completes my side of something, and I forget to really look at it from, but what's the complete information here, really, that may have nothing to do with helping me or getting my thing done, but that someone else needs. And in facilitation, it's interesting the way that's showing up is that there's a certain level of comfort with facilitating, and I've been looking, really wanting to challenge myself to look at what is the, what's the larger perspective of what I can offer in facilitation? So because there's a comfort level, there can be a plateau almost with it, and looking at, okay, what might I be able to offer that would push the edges a little and perhaps have me less comfortable, but maybe be a good service.
All right. Thank you, group. Here it goes around the North Carolina circle.
Like with Jen, it's mine was the same in both categories, and I wrote it the same thing down in several ways. Being on my own, tapping into the energy that moves through me, which is sometimes a lot, without losing sight of the context, especially the group process that we do and the checks and balances and the accountability, and having it be mine rather than ours.
When I look at the communication, I think one of my biggest is the, I like to pre-think things, so it's kind of knowing in advance what I'm going to say. And when I get into communication that's spontaneous, I struggle with being skillful at all. And so I'm going to think of that. In facilitation, I have been looking at when my group is silent, that makes me feel awkward, and so my tendency is to want to say or do something rather than just sit there. And the last couple pieces are the noticing the wanting to not staying with the person that I'm facilitating long. Somebody else can, somebody has.
Challenges in communication. One is acknowledging the various dimensions with me. There gets to be a conversation going back and forth, and I find that I put out or communicate the parts that part of me thinks are favorable, and fighting the others. And, that's less than honest. I find that I'm trying to learn to look to the heart versus conditioning about what to say and when, and trusting the heart, knowing when it is the heart and not just kind of conditioning, and assumptions that I understand. When I'm listening to someone, I have a quick mind and I tend to jump to conclusions, and I'm sure I miss a lot that way. challenges in facilitation. The biggest one is shifting attention away from the critical voices, the judge, and self-conscious.
This is Alex.
Hey, Alex, can I pause for just 1 second and tell you guys that we're having a little trouble hearing people?
Oh.
I can't tell whether it's our phone. It's like a jumping, almost as if maybe not people aren't speaking into the microphone the whole time. I can't tell. So there might not be anything you can do about it, but if you spoke right into the mic, that might help.
How's this? Is this any better? I'll keep talking so you can hear the jumping, if there is any jumping to be heard.
That's so far so good.
Okay.
Microphone.
Oh, we're talking very softly. Yeah, talk louder. And the microphone is actually right here. So, okay. And was that clear? Just the spirit of communication. And right here is up at the top of the phone. The that's the part with the little divot at the bottom. So, my greatest communication challenge is, and I saw the same thing too. That it fits in the category of the facilitation challenge as well. And there's something of a passiveness to the facilitation and communication. It seems like there's not a whole lot of initiative in that needs to be taken sometimes, but when there is need for energy to be brought to something, there tends to be a believing of the conversation, which is true about both of them. There's a believing of a projections and a believing of a conversation that something about people are not going to like it if I blah blah blah, or this is not the right time, or a whole bunch of they usually take the form of excuses for why not to say or why not to take initiative in something. And that's mostly, yes.
I can relate to everything I've heard so far, and have experienced a lot of it. And in answer to both of those questions, the biggest challenge for me are feelings of inadequacy, and that I'll be blank, and nothing will arise in response. And in some ways, that seems so happening now because that's all that came up for me to say.
Let's see, for communication, I would say I can get caught up in a duality, and I was looking at that, and I actually think it's just what it is self-consciousness, that it all go into a duality about what I should or shouldn't communicate with the whole thing, just being self-consciousness. And greatest challenge to facilitation, I would say, if I have an agenda, any kind of agenda, that would be that it's just there's no facilitation happening.
It's a joke or a quote, I'm not sure which, but the communication is thinking that I've done it. And it's kind of along the lines of Jen's. You know, I think I'm just as clear as it's possible to be, and then the person I'm talking to doesn't understand half of what I'm saying. In facilitation, the biggest difficulty for me is that I don't facilitate. It's actually not a difficulty for me. But I acknowledge that I don't do it, and I think as an organization, that is a subject that we could probably address at some point.
Well, for the communication, what came up for me today, at least, was wanting to be real clear and clean before I communicate. So not wanting to risk any kind of messy, saying the wrong thing. And I think that kind of ties in, too, with my facilitation thing, which is it's all about visibility. And so with facilitation, it's all this karma about
visibility that, I mean, I can tell just answering this question has is zapping me. Because I could feel all this energy in my body, and I thought, ooh, this does not want to be talked about. And it just works against me at every step. And what feels like a challenge is finding ways where I can grow and work against that or work with that, whatever I need to do, without trying to go from facilitating 3 people to facilitating 30. And,
So for me, the greatest challenge in communication would be if I am in a place where I want approval for someone or want to be liked, that I have an idea of how things should go, and then the communication kind of goes according to that image rather than according to what might actually be happening. And so that does not lead to clarity. And then in general, I was looking at kind of finding the middle way with that. So conditioning can set it all up as a duality with, you know, communicating too little on one side and communicating too much on the other side. And so finding the middle way with that, just being able to come to clarity and presence and do what's there that needs to be done. And some of the sabotage that I get would be something like, the monks are busy, it would be best for me to figure this out on my own. Or it doesn't matter, or no one will know. And let's see, there's another one in here. So I want to be done with this, so I need an answer right now. And all that can be played out on a sensation level, not necessarily on a conversation level. And so all of that would be the same for facilitation. Pretty much the same kind of thing goes on in terms of wanting approval and getting attached to outcomes in that direction. Well, one more thing was that with facilitation, it's pretty much the same thing, but just being able to stay with the other person.
I can relate to everything I heard other people say, which leads to my first block for communication, which is that I'm not always listening, so I haven't actually heard everything everybody said. And it really is that gets away in the way a lot. And I don't acknowledge that on the receiving end of communication. And I think otherwise, with both communication and facilitation, I have fear, karma, and resistance, which are in a way all the same thing to me. But there's the kind of the perfectionism, which also seems to feed not wanting to change. And so if I communicate certain things, then things won't be able to stay the same. And if I take risks in facilitation, then I won't be able to keep proving that I can't do it like that. And I also have this thing where I go blank, which I've heard other people talk about, and I've been looking at it in terms of, it seems like something I can't avoid, and at the same time, it seems like there's something else there that can be there for me. So it seems like there's a way around it, but going blank, that's a big one.
Okay. As far as communication, I put that getting talked out of saying things that would contribute to clear communication, sometimes it's time pressures, often afraid of hurting others. And as far as facilitation, one big thing is this inadequacy process that I tend to do. And also getting distracted by the voices and making it hard to be fully present sometimes, and also afraid of hurting others.
I noticed in communication, it seems like I can vacillate from
being like really arrogant and assuming that I know what's going on, what the person is saying, and listening really, really well because I already know what they're going to say, to then thinking, oh, I'm so inadequate, I can't do it at all, and who do I think I am to do it? So it's this, all this different kinds of conditioning that comes can come from any side to really criticize whatever is going on. And also, I just my mind can go so fast that I get into this sort of impulsivity, and sometimes I'll say things and then go, oh, gosh, why did I say that? Because it wasn't thought out. And that seems like another really strongly conditioned pattern. And also in facilitation, lack of confidence, in particularly in facilitating in this practice. I don't so much, well, yeah, but particularly in this practice. Other times I have somewhat more confidence, although this seems like just kind of the real place to challenge myself with that and really look at it.
The thing that came up for me is, you know, with sitting practice for however many years, every time I get on the cushion, if I am aware that my mind wanders, then I come back to breath. And I have that as an anchor, and I've never wavered from that because that's what the guide taught. And I feel like with facilitation, I have a similar guideline, and it's about reflective listening, drawing out, and clarifying. So my challenge I'm going to talk about with facilitation is just like it is on the cushion, to just come back to what the guidance is and to not make anything else up. With communication, as I looked at it, and it was touched on as we talked today, I'm aware that I don't feel like I have those same little anchor points. I could say come back to the breath. There it is. But I think what happens is I do the duality, either you know, I'm worried I'm going to say too much, but I don't say anything, or, you know, I'm worried I'm not going to speak up if I say too much, or mainly it's that conversation. So I would find it really helpful, and it may just be come back to the breath, to have some of those little gems like that to just remind myself of, okay, what is it I'm going to turn to here to feel... step through what conditioning is filling up the space with. What I also got too is just, you know, it all boils down to fear and karma of doing it right. And so I'm creating images a lot about what right looks like. I'm making all that up, and then I'm trying to meet those expectations. And when it's not working, I'm just lost in all of that made up story. So, is there more from anyone? We've heard from our group. Sherry. All right, so folks, not North Carolina, Sherry just asked us to write down going blank and needing to rehearse, because she heard that from a lot of folks, and we just want to keep that as a marker to make sure we talk about that. Is there more or anything else, any other comments for this part of what we're doing? Did you all hear Lori say that?
No.
Lori added, she would like to add to the list, the need to know something as if there's something to know.
Okay. Got it.
Anybody else? Comments?
Only that I really enjoyed that. That seemed like a really good process.
All right. So what else might need to happen here for us to be complete for this session? Anything anyone else needs to say or any logistical things we need to work out before we end this session?
Dan, I just feel moved to express my gratitude. It's really fun to know. I'm picturing you guys are in the, I don't know where you are exactly in the building, but I'm sort of picturing where you are. And the only thing better would be to be there with you in person, but it's really fun to be at the monastery holding down the fort here with my fellow girls here. And knowing that you're there, I really appreciate the extra effort of bringing us in because I know it's not so easy having to pass the phone around and it's a different kind of energy, but it's very, very moving and fun to be in on it. So thank you for that.
Great. And so we'll see you guys at 4:15 your time. Won't see you. We'll talk
yeah.
to you 4:15 time.
Yeah, I want to say the same thing, too. I'm just so grateful to have been invited to participate in this. So thanks a lot.
I had a logistical thing on our end. I wonder if, since we finished, we could take like a 5-minute break, and then maybe the team, we could all do like a little stand-up downstairs so we can figure out what's happening next. And then, Jen, I know you and I need to talk, so maybe after I finish with that, I could call you.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, good. So, is that all right? Good. So, we'll talk again in a few hours.
Okay, thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.